Blog Talk Radio.
Imagine you being the ride for somebody else and you already have car problems and you're dealing with a car that's kind of sometimey, a little bit sometimey, you know, sometimes it starts up, sometimes it don't, sometimes it will go and sometimes it won't, sometimes it stalls and sometimes it chills and sometimes it go and sometimes it's real. It's hard dealing with car problems. So what do you do when you have car problems, bad car problems? Well, we're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about it, be about it, get involved with these puzzle pieces right now. We're going to solve. It's going down on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. So let's do this damn thing. What are we talking about? What are we talking about when we say that we have car problems? First of all, let's talk about when you first started driving. Because a lot of people, a lot of adults don't know how to drive. A lot of people are afraid to drive. They've never driven a car in their lives. Or if they've driven a car, they didn't drive very far or they didn't drive very much. You know, there are a lot of people who fit that bill. There are a lot of people who still don't know how to drive, are afraid to drive. But none of those people are afraid to be a passenger. I think it's really weird. I like to be the driver of any vehicle that I'm in. I want to be the one whipping. a lot of people don't drive the way that I drive, and sometimes they don't make me comfortable. But I've been told that I drive too fast and I make other people feel uncomfortable. Blah, lies. I definitely get from here to there in a timely manner, though. I ain't going to lie about that. I definitely get from one place to another in a timely manner. I step on it when it's necessary. But yeah, when you first start learning how to drive, you start learning how to drive because you probably want to buy a car. You probably want to have a car of your own to get you from one place to another. Having your own car is a very, very big convenience. It is. It's a very big convenience. You know, me and my boys, we used to always talk about, yo, if I had a car, like, especially when we were teenagers, if you were a teenager at any point in your teenage life, whether you started driving at age 15, 16, whatever, in most states, I think that you can get your learner's permit to drive when you're 15 years old, and you can get your driver's license when you're 16 years old. In most states, some states will allow you to actually start driving before then. Like, I believe in Virginia, you can start driving at an earlier age. Let me see about that. Because I could have swore that in Virginia, I know I had a friend who went to my school. We was in the eighth grade, and he was already driving. We was like, what the hell? He didn't have his own car, but he was driving already. Let me see. Come on. What state has the lowest driving age?
According to VeryWellFamily.com, a 2017 literature review found that graduated license programs have been instrumental in reducing car crashes among 16 and 17-year-olds. For in fact, it's been so successful that some states are considering adopting graduated license programs for 18 to 20-year-olds who are becoming first-time drivers.
Oh, God, give me a break. Just give me the damn age. I ask you for all of that. I ask you, so we're going to see. Driving age by state. All right. So, to get your learner's permit, the states that have the lowest ages to get your learner's permit are Alaska, age 14, Arkansas, age 14. Idaho, 14 and a half. You got to be 14 and a half. Iowa, 14. Kansas, 14. Michigan, 14 and 9 months. Wow. Montana, 14 and a half. North Dakota, 14. South Dakota, 14. Now, a lot of these states probably... That's interesting. Virginia is 15 and a half. Well, back then, he told us it was... Interesting. Back then, he told us that you could get your learner's permit at 14 and your driver's license at 15. And this is a good chance they might have changed it. A lot of these states where the age is low, it may be in areas where they don't have a lot of public transportation and things like that, so you may need to start driving at a young age if you live in a rural area where, you know, getting from one place to another might be difficult, so it might be necessary for you to drive at a young age. But when you start driving, when you first start learning how to drive and when you start getting your taking driver's license, getting your permit, and getting ready to be able to drive a car, it's probably because you want to buy a car. And you probably want to get a car, buy a car, have a car, because you have places that you want to go. You know, going out to dinner, going out to the movies, recreational things, even going back and forth to school. If you go to a school that's far away from where you live and you commute, things like that, you're probably going to need a car. If you live in one of those big states out west that don't have a big public transportation system, or where the transportation system shuts down early. So if you work at night, for example, it's going to be hard for you to get home, you know, or maybe too expensive for you to catch a cab or something like that. There are areas out there where they don't even have taxi cabs. There are plenty of places out there in the United States where they don't even have taxi cab service because they don't have enough people out there who don't have a vehicle to make any money. In order for you to make money driving a cab, you have to have people who will pay the fare. So I'm saying all of that to say this. When you buy a car, when you get a car, you're probably going to use your car for a lot of the things that you want to do. So you're going to need a reliable vehicle. You're going to need a reliable car. So if you don't get a car that's reliable in the beginning, it's going to really, really shape the way that you think about driving from the beginning. It's going to change everything for you. Everything is going to be different for you. If you get a car in the beginning that won't work or that needs a lot of repairs or is breaking down all the time, is not reliable, whatever, it's hard dealing with a car that is unreliable. It really is. It really, really is. And people who don't drive don't understand. This is more than just putting gas in the vehicle and pressing on the pedal to go and being out. If it was that simple, almost everybody would do it. Really. One of the reasons that everybody doesn't do it is because owning a car can be expensive. That's just the truth of the matter. Owning a car can be very expensive. Nowadays, gas is going back up. It started to come down a little bit over the summer, and the spring and summer started to come down a little bit after going up extremely high when the war overseas, you know, between Ukraine and Russia started, you know, the gas prices really went, they really shot up. So then the gas prices started to go down in the spring and the summer. And now they're going back up because OPEC doesn't care. You know, I think it's very politically motivated for the prices of gas to go back up. But the bottom line is it's expensive to drive right now. And when the price of gas goes up, the price of traveling goes up too. The price of deliveries goes up too. Did y'all notice, besides Amazon, a lot of places, a lot of online shopping stores stop offering free shipping. Amazon changed the game. It was all free shipping, Prime. If you have a Prime membership, it's all free shipping. They made a lot of other places use free shipping. Even eBay, free shipping. You go on eBay now, and it's not free shipping for a lot of vendors. No free shipping. Now you pay, and the prices have gone up. I know that because I bought a lot of stuff from eBay last year, and it was all free shipping. And a lot of the stuff was affordable. It was affordable for me. I don't know if it's affordable for everybody else. Anyway, this year, all of the prices of the stuff that I bought last year has really gone up, and no free shipping. No free shipping. No free shipping. All right. So, okay. That is what it is. That's something that we got to deal with. You understand what I'm saying? That's something that we got to deal with. But when we start talking about a car, it's more than just putting gas in the car. You have to perform routine maintenance with a car. Unless you drove your car off the car lot brand new, no owner before you, you're probably going to have some things that you need to do to a car in order to keep it on the road. Routine oil changes. Well, you have to do that with a new car too. But definitely with a used car, you want to make sure that you take care of the engine. You want to make sure that all of the fluids in your car are up to par. Transmission fluid, brake fluid. These are things that make the car go and make the car stop. Very, very important things to consider. You do not want to drive a car. If you've ever driven a car that had faulty brakes, you know how scary that can be. You might not even be going all that fast. You could be going 20 miles an hour. And 20 miles an hour in a car is not very fast. But when you can't stop, it seems like you're going 100. Dangerous. Very dangerous. Especially when you consider the impact of a car traveling at just 20 miles per hour. It's going to be dangerous, real dangerous, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, let's see. Brake fluid, transmission fluid, making sure you have oil in the car, oil in the engine, changing the filter. Those are regular things that you can do. Even windshield wiper fluid, radiator, antifreeze, putting antifreeze in the radiator, making sure that your car isn't in the position to overheat. A leak in the radiator can make your car overheat, and that overheating would cause a bunch of smoke. If you keep driving it, you're going to ruin your engine. And even when you stop driving it, when you see your car overheating, you're stuck in the middle of the street. Now, if you've ever been in a car that broke down in the middle of the street, you know what embarrassment is. Some people might ask, why is that embarrassing? All right, I'm going to tell you why it's embarrassing right after we go ahead and do this intro. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. We do this every single Saturday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is Saturday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I'm your host, Sun752, a.k.a. Omar with the... And if you can't say Omar with the R, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. And today on the Urban Therapy with Sun show, we are talking about what to do about car problems. What to do when you have car troubles. Sorry about that. What to do when you have car troubles. What do you do? All right. So, getting back to why it's so embarrassing when your car breaks down in the middle of the road. First of all, your car might have broken down. Let's say if you're having problems with your starter, or you have alternator problems, or you have problems with your battery. You might break down. Your car may not Your car may stall and may not start up again or run anymore at a stoplight or even a stop sign. And you may be in traffic, real traffic, people in front of you, people behind you, people on the side of you and in opposite lanes of yours. And you have broken down. People behind you don't know what's going on with your car. They don't know. So people are honking behind you. Beep, beep, come on, man, move the car. Go ahead. The light is green. They don't realize you can't go nowhere. You're not going nowhere. They don't know you're in your car trying to start it again. You may not know anything about cars. All you know is that you stick the key in, press on the brake, and the car starts. Well, it ain't doing that. The car has broken down. You're stuck. You might get stuck on the expressway or on the highway. That can be really dangerous. It can be even as dangerous or more dangerous to get out of your car. Because if you're on the highway or expressway, you know, cars are coming. What if you're in the middle lane? Where are you going to go? It's dangerous for you to get out of the car. But you got traffic all backed up. They don't know what's going on with you. You need a tow truck. You need a tow truck, somebody to get you out of harm's way. Because God forbid somebody is driving and not paying attention and they slam into the back of you. So it's dangerous, very dangerous to be broken down in, on the side of the road, in the middle of the road, in the middle of the street, on the street. It's dangerous and it's embarrassing. You want your car to start. That's all you want. You had places to go. That's why you jumped in the car in the first place. You wasn't just going for a nice leisurely drive. You might have been going to the store. You might have been going to work. You might have been going to school. You might have been going to the store. You might have been going to go pick somebody up. You might have been going to drop somebody off. There are a bunch of things that you probably were doing when you went and jumped in your car, and now you can't do any of them, and you're in a dangerous and embarrassing situation. Your car is smoking. Your car was about to overheat. Your car was overheating, and it's smoking. Everybody can see all of this white smoke coming from your car. You go and put your hood up. Now people know what's going on with you. Hopefully you put your blinkers on. Put your blinkers on so people in the back of you can see what's going on with you. And hopefully somebody will be a good Samaritan to you and help you out. Doesn't always happen. Definitely does not always happen. A lot of times you're just out there stranded. Now, what if you're out there stranded, car won't work, you're in the middle of the road, and your cell phone is low on battery. Like, you can't even call somebody to come help you out. Or you don't have the money to get your car off the streets. Tow trucks cost a lot of money. Tow trucks can run you anywhere from $75, and you need to pay it up front, all the way up to $200 or whatever. Whatever position, especially financial position that you're in, count on a tow truck driver to take advantage of that situation, because that's how they make money. One thing is for sure. They ain't just going to move your car for free. Ain't going to happen. It has happened. Maybe it has happened for some people, but it ain't a common occurrence. It's not a common occurrence. A lot of times, you left the fend for yourself. So if you don't have insurance that offers roadside assistance, or if you don't have AAA or Motor Club of America, whatever, you could just find yourself out there stuck and stranded, embarrassed and afraid. You worry like a mug. You worry like a mug. It's a dangerous situation. And it's an embarrassing situation. So what do you do when you have car troubles? Okay. All right, so this is what we're going to do. When you have car troubles and you're sitting on the side of the road, what you should do first is probably put your blinkers on so that will alert people that there is a problem going on with your car. They call it, the blinkers are called hazard lights. So depending on what kind of car you have, you want to look for a little triangle button, a little button that has a triangle. Some cars have a big button, a big square button. Some cars have a smaller button, but you want to look for that. Press that button, and that will turn your blinkers on. Now, hopefully, you don't have battery problems to whereas turning your blinkers on will actually make your situation worse. That's what you don't want to do. What's going on, Stacey White? Thanks for coming on through. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's what you don't want. You don't want a situation where you're draining your battery or making your situation worse. But you do want to make sure that people are alerted to the fact that you have a problem going on. Also, it can help if you have a white cloth, like a white sheet, a shirt, or something. You put that in the window. That lets people know that there's a problem with your car. Like if you're on the shoulder of the road, people know that will let people know that you're having car problems. Maybe they can call for a tow truck for you. Many times, if you're stranded on the highway, they have state highway services that will tow your vehicle off of the road and tow it to like a residential street or whatever, where you can be moved to safety and you won't obstruct traffic. So what we're going to do is I just thought about something. Okay, wait a minute. Let me get it together. All right. Let's see. I don't know if this site that I'm going to is gonna give us the information that I'm looking for, but let's see. Okay, if your car stalls while driving, safety first. When an engine stalls, the car's accessories also fail as they draw power from the engine. That means your power steering assist and power assist for your brakes fail.
That's true.
You'll still be able to steer your car if it was moving when the engine cut out, but it will be much, much more difficult for you to do so. If you were stopped or idling when the car died, you may not be able to budge the wheel. Your brakes will still work, but they'll be really hard to push down. On the bright side though, your leg may get a good workout as you bring the car to a stop. Okay, blah 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 blah. All right, I'm safely out of traffic now. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, if you're able to steer the car to the shoulder of another on the shoulder or another safe spot out of traffic flow. If you're stranded in the middle of the road and aren't able to coast over to the side, turn your hazard lights or emergency flashes on immediately. remain in the car. An emergency kit for cars will come in very handy in such situations. If you are stopped in traffic, do not exit the car. Leave the seatbelt on and call roadside assistance if you have such coverage with a cell phone, or wait for a law enforcement professional to help you. Getting out of the vehicle while it's stopped in traffic is extremely dangerous. That's what I was saying. Okay, now it says, I'm safely out of traffic. Now what? Once you're safely out of traffic and can get out of the car without putting your own safety or that of anyone else around you at the time at risk, try to restart your car. If it does not happen to restart and you're very close to home, you may wish to just drive straight home. Then you can make an appointment with your shop and start troubleshooting in your very own driveway. If you're too far from home to risk another stall, drive to the nearest parking lot and leave the car there. All right. All right. All right, that basically gave me what I wanted to hear. I wanted to talk about safety. You know, when your car, if your car stops in the middle of the road, you know, I wanted to talk about the things that you might need to do in order to make sure that at least you won't make your physical situation any worse, or that you let other people around you know what's going on with you. You know, I've heard horror stories about people being in their car, even on the shoulder of the road, and having somebody slam into the back of them and all that kind of stuff. So you want to definitely watch out for that. But that's one of the reasons why you might be conflicted about whether to stay in the car or to get out of the car. You never know. So I would say use your better judgment, but definitely try to stay out of harm's way. What's going on, Mia Cunningham? Good to see me some of you. Thanks for coming on through. All right, so we're talking about car troubles. Car troubles. Yeah. What to do when you have car troubles. Yeah. Like I said, being broken down in the middle of the road or on the highway, the expressway, or whatever, is embarrassing and it's dangerous as hell. Embarrassing and dangerous. Your car not working is dangerous. I mean, it's embarrassing. For more than just the fact that people are behind you, they beeping, they don't know what's going on with you, and they don't care. People are in their cars, they got to go to work, they got to go to school, they got to make appointments, they got to do whatever it is they got to do, and you are in the way, on the road, in the middle of the street, at the traffic light, or at a stop sign, and they beeping, they don't know what's going on. They drive around you, giving you the middle finger. They see that you, after they find out that you're stranded, Some people will show a little sympathy, like, okay. But they still mad because that's what people do when you hold them up in traffic. They get mad, real mad sometimes, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, all right, it's embarrassing. I don't care if your car is stalling on your block or in your driveway. One thing that always gets people's attention is when you got your hood up because they know your car ain't working. Neighbors get all nosy like, oh, such and such, I see such and such is having problems with their car. Whether they're going to do something about it or not, they paying attention like, oh. They'll come out, ask questions. Hey, what, your car won't start? They can see you putting air in your tire. Car won't start. I got a flat. Okay, won't start, won't go. What's the difference? I mean, I know it's early in the morning, but you ain't got to be so testy. You ain't got to be so testy. I was just asking you a question. Need a jump. When your battery is low or your battery is dead, it doesn't have enough power to be able to make the car start. You can't get a vroom going on. Man, and you know how yesterday we talked about beating yourself up over what was it called? Beating yourself up over mistakes or whatever. What was it called?
There is no greater feeling of inadequacy when you have drained your battery. You got to get up in the morning, go to work, and your car won't start. Why? Because you left your dome light on. You came home last night. It was dark. You was reading something while you were in your car before you went in the house. And you forgot to push the little button to make the dome light come on. You opened your door, and when you opened your door, all the lights in your car came on. And so you didn't pay attention. Either you locked the car door with your key, if you still have a car that locks with a key, or you chirped the alarm system, the keyless alarm system or whatever. Went in the house, and that little dome light that stayed on all night drained your battery. So you was already running late in the morning. You was already running late. You got up in the morning. You got up late. You kept pushing the snooze button. You know how some of y'all do. Snooze, I need another 5 minutes. 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 Snooze. Shout out to all of the people who set their clock 20 minutes fast because they know they're going to push their snooze button 4 times at least. I don't know. I don't know about y'all. To me, that's the dumbest thing to do. But people do it all the time. All right. So, yeah, now you done drained your battery in your car. It's all your fault. You wasn't paying attention. When you chirped your alarm and went in the house, you didn't turn back to see if the light in your car went out. Me, you're talking about something. That's me. Till I can't snooze no more. Oh, gosh. Man. I know. Okay, she says, it's not like I get more restful sleep. It just makes me feel good. So what? Restful sleep is the goal. How you get any good sleep when you keep getting interrupted every 5 minutes? Get your ass up. Get in the shower and get going. Get up. My alarm go off. I pop right up. All right, everybody ain't got to be like me. I don't care. They should be, but they ain't, and it's okay. But the bottom line is you push the snooze button 4 or 5 times, so you getting up 25 minutes late or 25 minutes on time because you set your clock up 25 minutes or half an hour, whatever the case may be, because you know you slow. You know you be sluggish in the morning. You know you be bullshitting. You know you be getting distracted. You know you be playing around on social media, doing whatever it is that you do, you know, trying to get something to eat, making your lunch. Getting stuff together, trying to remember where you put your keys and getting your uniform together if you have to wear a uniform to work or whatever. You know, you doing whatever it is that you got to do. You got to get your outfit together. Now you, where you were supposed to leave out of the house at, let's say, 7 o'clock, and it takes you a half an hour to get to work. And you got to be to work at 8 o'clock. So you should have plenty of time to get to work, be able to cool out, stretch out. You're not coming right in and having to start working right away. You know, you can cool out a little bit, get your little coffee, your little breakfast sandwich, your little whatever it is that you do. Bust it up with your coworker peoples, whatever. All right. Then you go outside to your car. You run it a little bit late. You were supposed to leave at 7 o'clock. You ain't leave till 7:15, 7:20. You figure, all right, you know, I'll take a shortcut or whatever. I'll cut into the time. I'll still be able to get to work on time and still have time to spare. Yeah, but when you got in that car, that's doing with you ain't even get the nope, you ain't got enough power for the it just went like, no.
Your dumbass is thinking, yo, somebody tried to break in my car last night. No, they didn't. Where did you deduce that somebody tried to break in your car? Well, somebody must have tried to break in my car because my car's not starting. And wasn't nothing wrong with my car yet, yesterday. When I got home last night, my car was running just fine. I was in the car. I was reading my mail. I was looking over some emails or whatever. And I remember I didn't get out of the car because an old Whitney Houston song was on, and I was jamming to it. You know, You Give Good Love by Whitney Houston was on. I was like, oh, my God, I ain't heard that in so long. You give good love to me, baby, so good. Take this heart of mine into my hand. Oh, I mean, you know, I was jamming to it. And I was reading my mail, like, oh, my God, I miss Whitney so bad. I wish Whitney was still alive. If Whitney was alive, she would be crushing all these bitches. I miss Whitney. And then I got out of the car, and I chirped my alarm, and everything was all right. So somebody must have tried to break in my car. You give good love to me, baby. So good. Take this heart of mine into my hands. You know that part of that song. You know the best part of that song. The best song of You Give Good Love by Whitney Houston, you know. Never, I can't stop looking around. It's not what this love's all about. My love is here to stay, to stay. Baby, you give good love. You was all caught up in the Whitney Houston song, reading your mail, and you was like, oh, my God. After this song, I ain't getting out of the car till this song go off with your dome light on, reading your mail. Oh, my God, I miss Whitney. Came up yesterday running late already, and your car won't start. Now, and in your mind, you really think you're going to still make it to work on time. Oh, my God, somebody got to give me a jump. I need somebody to give me a jump. I need to call AAA. I need to call roadside assistance. I need to call and get my, you know what? Ding dong, ding dong. Listen, I know it's early in the morning, but listen, my car won't start, and I think it's my battery. I don't know what happened. My car was running real good last night when I came home. Everything was cool, but for some reason it won't start. I think I might need a jump. You know, don't you got cables? They done came to the door with their slippers on, their robe on. You know, they wiping the coal out their eye. They ain't got to be to work for another couple of hours. They work the mid shift. They work second shift. They ain't got to be to work to, like, you know, somewhere between 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. I mean, 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Here you are knocking on their door. Help! 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 You got some cables? Now, you should have your own jumper cables. But you ain't have your own jumper cables. What you had is a need for a jump. That's all you got. You ain't got no, you don't have no jumper cables. You don't have no jump box. You don't have no tire pressure air machine, whatever, to fill up your tire. You ain't got none of that. You've been talking about buying all that stuff. You ain't got none of it. You stranded. So now you got to wait for your neighbor to get dressed. First of all, he or she got to be willing. They got to get dressed. And not everybody wants you to jump their car.
because that can have an effect on your battery. And some people won't give you no jump. Like, no, I ain't got no cables. And you know damn well they got cables because you've seen them use it before. But they don't want to use their, they don't want to use their cables. They don't want to use their car to give you no jump. They did that for their people. They don't want to do that shit for you. But let's say they do it. They did it. Like, all right. So you got to wait for them to get dressed and come help you out. And you at their mercy. So they might not be moving all that fast. Meanwhile, you still got dreams of making it to work early. Now, what you should do is you should call ahead to your job and let them know, listen, I'm having some car troubles. I came outside and my car won't start. My neighbor's about to give me a jump, and I'll keep y'all posted about what's going on. But I just want to give y'all a heads up and let y'all know what's going on with me in case I'm a little bit late. But even if I'm late, I'm not going to be real late. I might just be a little bit late. That's what you should do. Some people don't do that. They're like, nah. I ain't going to be late. I'm going to still make it. So your neighbor finally comes out like 10 minutes later. He got to move his car. Let's say, listen, anybody who's been through this, you're going to understand this frustration. The battery in their car has to line up with the battery in your car. So their battery might be all the way on the driver's side, and your battery might be all the way on the passenger side. You like that? Or your battery is located somewhere strange in a strange part of the car. Some people have cars where the battery is in the trunk. Some people have, I have a car where the battery is under the driver's seat. Under the driver's seat. Like, what kind of weirdo? What? Y'all didn't have enough room in that big ass hood to put a battery? Like, no, we wanted to make it nice and inconvenient for you. So anyway, so let's say your battery is all the way on the driver's side. Their battery is all the way on the passenger side, or vice versa. So now they might not have cables long enough to reach that. They don't have no long cables. Now you got a problem. Because you might have to situate the car to whereas instead of pulling up close to, next to you, or instead of pulling up right, it might not be possible for them to pull up right in front of you, which is ideal for the cars to be facing each other. That's the ideal position. You might not be able to get that. So what do? You got to find a way. That's the bottom line. You got to find a way to get this jump. And your neighbor or whoever is helping you might not be in the mood to go the extra mile to help you. After all, you done woke them up, you interrupted their breakfast. They might have been doing it. We was in there getting busy. Somebody knocking on the door. Knocking on the door like the police. I thought I was about to get in trouble for screwing my wife. You know, she played too much. I didn't know what was going on. Anyway, yeah, that might have been why he took so long to come out. He had to go and, you know, finish up his 10 minutes of loving. It is what it is. So I'm saying all of this to say this. Pay for a roadside assistance service. AAA, Motor America. What is it? I used to have it. Whatever. You know, get yourself a roadside assistance program that will come out, tow your car if necessary, give you a jump if necessary, provide gas, you know, 5 gallons of gas if necessary, whatever the case may be. But don't put yourself in a position where you are stranded with no resources. Maybe you don't have any cash money or whatever. And, you know, cash money is very good on the streets. That's, you know, so for my people who don't carry around no cash, yeah, well, you might be left on the side of the road, cold chilling. You ain't doing so well right now. You're not doing so well right now. me and says, that's a salty-ass feeling. I sat in my car listening to music, zoning out with the engine running. Oh, my God. And killed my battery. Oh, you said without the... How many of us have done that? You feel like such a dickhead when you do it, too. Like, you knew your battery wasn't all of that. You knew it. You knew it. You know, you got these powerful, very melodic and acoustic sound systems in these cars. You be in there like, oh, my God, the speakers in here, they got a good stereo system in this car. This car is all that. Oh, I love my car. I love my car. Yeah. Meanwhile, you draining that battery. I was salty. Thank God I was home and had cables. Most insurance policies will have roadside coverage and AAA. Best to have, too. And me, I bet you was listening to, you give good love to me, baby. So, no? Well, you could have been. You could have been. He says, had a flat tire, and thank God I had some money on me. Dude driving by changed my tire for me, but he definitely wanted some cash. I'm trying to tell you, on the street, you got to have cash. Don't nobody care about your plastic. Well, they ain't trying to hear, well, you know, can you drive me to the, if you drive me to the ATM real quick, I can give you a couple of, no, you need cash. That's what people who don't carry cash don't seem to understand. With they bougie asses, like, well, you know, I don't carry no cash on the streets. I don't care. I'd be like, okay. Well, I do. And you better not try to rob me because don't nobody rob me. You going to rob me? We got a problem. No, you ain't robbing nobody today. You ain't robbing nobody today. Not strong arm style. This thing will cut through a thick leather jacket. Zorro. We don't play them kind of games, son. We don't play them kind of games. They say don't bring a knife to a gunfight, but if a knife is all you have and you close enough, well, you cut that gun out of his hand. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what to do when you have car troubles. What to do when you have car troubles? Mia says, oh, okay. I already read that. Yeah, man, thanks y'all for coming through. It's only a couple of y'all. We all good. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm your host, Sun752, and we are talking about what to do when you have car troubles on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. So, yeah, you need a jump. My daddy, my late great father, used to always say, help somebody help you. So if you need a jump, don't make somebody have to think about whether they feel like helping you. Have your cables, have your hood up, your cables already connected, and be in front of your car with the cables like this. So somebody can just pull up, pop their trunk, you just connect yours, boom, and move on. Once you got to be out there asking people, yo, you got any cables? Yo, I need a jump. Y'all, I need a jump. Anybody got cable? Like, dad, you ain't ready to have a jump. You don't have no cable. You're not ready. You're not ready, son. You ain't ready. You're not ready. You're not ready. You ain't ready to get no jump. You ready to inconvenience somebody. And it's going to have an effect on whether you will get the help that you need out there on the streets today. It's going to have an effect. But that's going to be all on you. You're going to learn a lesson today. Today, you're going to learn. You're going to learn, son. And no, it ain't nobody else's fault except for yours. So we're not doing it. We're not going there. We're not going to pretend this is all your fault. You could have prevented all of that. And it's only a mistake. It's only a mistake that you made. But that mistake can be blown out of proportion by you not being prepared in any type of way. So when you have car troubles, try to be in a position for somebody to be able to help you. Try to be in a position for somebody to be able to help you. It will really, really go a long way towards remedying your situation, in the immediate sense. Have your cables ready. A lot of times people want a couple of dollars for giving you a jump, even though it's like an unwritten law. It's like a unwritten rule that you don't charge nobody for a jump because you're going to need a jump sometime in your life. Everybody who ever drove a car needs a jump. You're not going to go through life never having a battery that messes up on you. Somebody driving in your car going to leave that dome light on or didn't close the door all the way and those lights were on, or you going to be out drinking one night and you forgot to turn your lights off, you know, that kind of shit. Or, all right, this is not really a car trouble that I'm about to talk about, but it's something that happens often enough to the point where we can't talk about having a car without talking about this at some point. Locking your keys in the car. Locking your keys in the car. I don't care whether you lock your keys in the car. If you've ever locked your keys in the car, a lot of times it happens in slow motion. You got out of your car, locked your car from the inside, pressed lock, got out of your car, and as you was closing the door, you realized that you left your keys in. And it's like the door was closing in slow motion, like, oh, no. And you went to go pull that car door, and that thing was locked. It was locked. Yeah. You looking at your keys right there on the seat. Maybe on the passenger side, maybe on the driver's side. Because you might have been getting out of the car. You had stuff in your hand. You was trying to get in the house. There were other things on your mind. You weren't paying attention as well. You locked them damn keys in the car. Now, I talked about how dumb you be feeling when your battery is dead. You don't have to tell nobody that it's your fault that the battery died. You don't have to tell nobody that. That can remain a private issue, because nobody's going to know that unless you tell them, or if they handle the situation without you and find out what happened. But when you lock the keys in the car, that's your fault. That's all your fault. Your fault. Nobody else. Nobody, I know you don't like me sticking my finger in your face. That's all your fault. You could have prevented this. And the worst part about locking your keys in the car is that it's hard to get that fixed. You need tools in order to get your keys out of a locked car. A hanger, and you got to know what you're doing with the hanger. You might have to find somebody who knows how to do it, and more than likely they're going to charge you because it's not a quick thing. Nobody breaks into a car really fast. It takes a while. You can be at it for an hour. I've seen people at it for an hour or more to the point where they was ready to give up, and they finally did it. They finally got it. I've seen people have to smash their windows. You should never have to smash your windows in order to get keys out of the car. But, hey, let's say you lock your keys in the car, the car is running, and you got a baby inside the car.
this situation won't work. It won't wait. Yeah. Lock your keys in the car. Boneheaded thing to do. Stupid thing to do. But it happens. It happens, and it happened to you. So what do you do? Got to go get that neighbor. Got to call your brother. Got to go get your cousin. Got to go around the corner to get a crackhead. You need somebody who knows how to do it. Shout out to my people who have ever opened a car door with a hanger. There's so many different ways that you have to do it. For some people, they have to bring the window down a little bit to get the hanger up in there to try to hook the latch to open the door. And the way that they make a lot of car doors now, you're not going to be able to do it that way. A lot of cars now just have the button, a little flat button. So you might have to use the hanger. You're going to need a long enough hanger to be able to stick the hanger in the window and reach all the way over to the passenger side or the driver's side to push the unlock button in the car. It's not a pretty sight. And it's really an ugly situation. It is. Oh, my God. Locking your keys in the car. People have called the cops. And cops will shit on you. They will straight front on you. The fire department, too, they will front on you like, well, no, we used to have a little Jimmy stick. We don't have that no more. Well, where'd it go, officer? Where'd it go, Mr. Fireman? Where'd it go? What do you mean you don't have them anymore? Yeah, we used to have them, but we don't have them in the department anymore. Lying. Lying! They don't want to offer them services. Yeah, so you out there stuck like Chuck. You out there stuck like Chuck and stalled like Paul. Mia says, thank God my car won't allow me to lock my keys in the car. Yeah, a lot of cars are made with that feature where the driver's side will not lock without you either using a key on the outside or you chirping the keyless entry, which is good. But if you have an older vehicle, you can lock your keys right in that car like it ain't nothing, like it ain't even nothing. Mia says, are crackheads still around? Yeah. Lock your keys in the car and they'll pop up out of nowhere. It's like magic. And you will be happy to see them. Like, you know how to do it? Yeah, I know how to do it. Yeah, I know how to do it. I take care of it for you. I take care of it for you. Mm-hmm. It says, hangers nowadays, trying to unlock a door is all the more reason to have AAA. Trying to do it now will have you wanting to pull your hair out and cuss out everyone. Yup. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For over a decade, I keep an extra pair of keys. Well, At least I have one spare key in my back pocket because I have multi vehicles. I'm a multi vehicle owner, so that's the only key that will fit in my back pocket. The other ones, if I have a spare key to the other ones, I'll put it in another place. But yeah, it's
It's a situation. It's a situation. And it ain't sweet. It ain't sweet. So, yeah, roadside assistance. That's the best way to get yourself out of a lock your keys in the car jam. A jam. Oh, jam. Jam. Titty. Jam for me now. Yeah. It's tough. These are the things that make life seem hard for you. And it ain't got to be all that hard. It ain't got to be all that hard. But you find yourself in these types of situations, you're going to be mad and move. You're going to be mad and move. So, yeah. All right, now, we talk about what to do when you have car troubles. What to do when you have car troubles? These are definitely car troubles, but these are the car troubles that are easier to fix. What happens when you have a problem with your vehicle that you can't fix? Like you're having transmission problems. Your car has been slipping for a while. The transmission has been slipping. Now, for people who drive, you know that when your transmission is slipping, it's like you're pressing on the gas and it's not shifting in the gear. So you'll be driving along, but you'll feel this like stall when you press on the gas. It'll be like, and if it catches on, then it'll shift in the gear and, you know, make the car go. But that lets you know that you have to either put some transmission fluid in the car. And speaking of transmission fluid, some cars do not come with an easy transmission fluid tank. You got to look all over the car. They put they got cars out here. They do not want you to find out. They do not want you to be able to put transmission fluid in your car. I'm convinced. And it's not even just American, not even just foreign cars. You have some American cars where you can't find the transmission fluid stick. And they also have cars where you can't change the transmission fluid. I have a Volkswagen where you cannot change the transmission fluid. And I'm like, well, how does that work? They said that the way that the car was engineered was that you should never need transmission fluid. It kind of generates its own, some old crazy stuff. But you can't do it. And even if you could do it, you would have to put the car on a lift and dismantle something or whatever. But yeah. So if the transmission never goes bad on that car, then I got a problem. But when you have a problem with the transmission and you need to get it rebuilt or get a new transmission or an engine or something like that, and you don't have the money for it, it's tough. Because that's a major, major car repair expense. It's a major, major car repair expense. That ain't something where, you know, all right, on this check, I'm going to just go ahead and get that fixed. Mm-mm. Getting a new engine in a car can cost anywhere from $1,000 for a used engine all the way up until infinity. I swear, like infinity, you can get an engine in a car and it can cost you as much as a brand new car. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. As much as a brand new car, not a great car, not a great brand new car, but, you know, an economical brand new car. It's crazy. Transmission, you know, you're talking about $1,500 and up, depending on what kind of car you have. You might not have that kind of money. I don't know what anybody else's financial situation is. I know what mine is, and I know what I can afford and what I can't afford. And sometimes I've had car troubles to whereas I couldn't pay for them, and so I had to make a life decision. But one decision that was going to be easy to make was that I wasn't going to be driving for a while. How about that? Now, what can you do if you have a car repair that you cannot afford? Well, before the fact, you might want to look into getting an extended warranty. If you are, well, you can get an extended warranty if you are making payments on your car, financing your vehicle, or leasing it, or you can buy a warranty for your vehicle, extended warranty for your vehicle after the fact, and pay on it. You know, shout out. Listen, I haven't gotten. Remember, we used to always get these spam calls last year, the year before, about, you know, your car's extended warranty, you know, is about to expire, whatever. They was calling people who didn't even have a car. Remember, I don't get those cars. I don't get those text messages or those calls anymore. Wonder why? What happened? What happened to my car's extended warranty? Did I finally take care of it? But anyway, that's a good way for you to be able to make car repairs without having to come out of the pocket with a really big out-of-pocket expense. Other than that, you might have to save up some money until you can finally get the car fixed. But what you don't want to do is try to take the car to a shop and leave it there for a good while, because some places charge you storage fees. Talk to your mechanic. Talk to a reputable mechanic. Ask around. You know, one thing about auto mechanic work, man, you can make it way worse than it ever started out with, because there's so many shiesty, shady, thieving mechanics out here that will take advantage of you and take all your money and tell you that there are things wrong with your car that really aren't wrong with your car. And you don't want to get into that. You don't want to get into it. It's a bad situation. So ask people who may know people who have a good relationship or contact with somebody who can help you get your car fixed, and that will be half-assed honest with you and will, you know, work with you so you can get back on the road, because that's the ultimate goal. You got to get back on the road, baby. You got to get back on the road. We have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious November 5th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them, making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Aisha Houston, turning 48 years old today. Happy birthday to you, Aisha. And also Dimitri Pugh Edwards, turning 52 years old today. Do your thing, Ma. And also Edgar Cortez, happy birthday to you, Edgar. And LaShawn Malone, turning 41 years old today. And Janelle McIntyre, no relation, but what up, cuz? Turning 31 years old today. And yeah, Pooh Walker. That's right. Yeah, Pooh Walker, turning 42 years old today. And Bree Bree, turning 38 years old today. Excuse me. And Rosie Shepherd, turning 49 years old today. And Nate North, happy birthday to you, Nate North. And Ashanti Stone, happy birthday to you, Ashanti. And Shy Douglas, turning 54 years old today. Yay. And Nakia White Spot, happy birthday to you. And my man Chris Badson, happy birthday to you, Chris. And last but not least, my man Deron Smith, turning 60 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares his birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious November 5th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead, turn up, but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on it, do the damn, thing, you do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings, you do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen. I mean, you know, let me check it out. I mean, you know, peep game. Car troubles can be embarrassing. They can be frustrating. They can really get you down. But one thing that they will definitely do is keep you off of the road. So you're going to have to take some mental inventory and really, really take your future into consideration when you think about buying a car, when you think about driving a car, having a car, using a car, and what's going to go into it. Not everybody can afford a brand new car straight off the car lot. But if you're going to get a new car, I mean, if you're going to get a used vehicle, try to make sure that you only buy a vehicle that you have driven before. I'm telling you, man, listen, getting cars from the auction is okay. But I'm not going to lie, I will caution against it. I would definitely caution against it because when you drive a car when you buy a car that you haven't driven yet, you don't know if that car fits or suits you. And yeah, you can take a mechanic to the car auction with you and he can tell you, oh yeah, the car sounds good. I think it's going to be all right. And he may not be able to check out something that you need to know with that car. Like, for example, you might need axles and things like that. They're not going to let him get all the way up in the car. They'll pop the hood and let him look at it. That's it. All that other stuff that may be going on with the car may be things that you won't find out until you actually drive it. You know what I mean? And it could be an expensive repair. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. Watch out when it comes to this car stuff, man. I know it's frustrating. I know that it can be embarrassing. I know that it can really, really bring you down. It can really, really stress you out. I know. But look, when it's on, it's on. You be riding. You be chilling. You be listening. You be, yeah, I love my car. I love my car. I love my vehicle. Yeah, I love my car. I love my vehicle. Yeah, I love my car. We'll see y'all tomorrow, 1 p.m., for another Urban Therapy with Sun show. We will be on tomorrow. 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, man. Thank y'all for coming through. I appreciate it. Appreciate it mucho. So let me get Blog Talk out of here. Yeah, 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 yeah.